Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 50. And we want to look at verse 15 through 21. This morning, I want to talk about forgiveness. Someone has once said that forgiveness is the final form of love. Oftentimes, forgiveness is easier to talk about than actually do. But forgiveness is so necessary. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you forget or excuse the behavior, but it prevents that behavior from destroying your heart. I think forgiveness is a necessary topic for the believer to explore from time to time. And in Genesis chapter 50, one of the most dysfunctional families in Scripture are having to face a season of forgiveness. Let's look at it together to see what the Spirit may teach us about this tender subject of forgiveness. Starting in verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may eventually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive their trespass of the servants of the Lord, excuse me, of God, your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Amen. Forgiveness. Well, you see that the father is dead now. Jacob is dead, and now Joseph's brothers, who some years before, in chapters 37 of the book of Genesis, has actually sold Joseph into slavery and told a lie that Joseph was dead, which grieved their father. And now they're having to face their brother without the aid of their father. Their father is not around to be a peacekeeper or a peace aid for them any longer. Now, how would Joseph treat us since our father's not on the scene any longer? And perhaps, according to our text here, he will hate us. Perhaps he will get us back. Perhaps he will seek vengeance against us. Perhaps he will repay our evil. Maybe he's been waiting for this moment. Maybe he's been waiting for this time to carry out his revenge on us. So they decide to come up with a scheme. They hired some messengers to go and speak to Joseph. And some would even believe made up a lie, something that their father never said, that Jacob never said or even penned, saying that Jacob said, "I beg you, please forgive the trespass, the sins of your brothers, for they did evil to you." Admitting the wrong that Joseph's brothers had committed against him some years earlier. Now, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your Father. Let's put God in this because he really makes the difference. Amen. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. As a matter of fact, as we get to verse 18, the brothers follow up with a visit. And they came and they fell on their face and said, behold, notice the language that they used. We're your servants, not your brothers. You know, life would be so fun if everybody could get along. Amen. If nobody would ever get on our nerves, if nobody would ever do anything to trespass against us, and no one would ever have any need for forgiveness, life would be so grand and so great if everybody could just get along. But life isn't that way, is it? There'll be times when we do things that we'll stand in need of forgiveness. But there'll also be times when we need to offer our forgiveness. You know, life becomes easier when we learn how to accept an apology that we never got. Some of us may be sitting here this morning and say, I'm not going to forgive until somebody apologizes to me. I'm not going to forgive unless they tell me the truth. I'm not going to forgive until they fall down on their face and beg me for forgiveness. But you know, you can make life a whole lot easier if you accept that apology that you've never gotten. Forgiveness is the final form of love. You know, I love the ways in which Joseph here handles his brothers, because obviously they've done evil. Obviously he has a reason to hate them. Obviously he has a right to seek vengeance. Obviously he's in a place of power now. Obviously he can do something about all the years of pain, all the years of imprisonment, all the years of the pit, all the years of trouble in his life that his brothers has caused him. Obviously, he's in the place of power now. He can get them back now. Obviously, Joseph can do something about it. And oftentimes, when people have done us wrong, there'll be times in our lives where it comes full circle and we'll be in a place of power. How will you respond to trespasses against you, or those who trespassed against you, when you're in a place of power? When you don't have the Jacobs in your life that will tame you any longer? How will you respond when you're in the place of power the catbird seeked? How will you respond when there have been people who've wronged you? I think for Joseph, he gives us some practical examples of how we should handle this. The first thing he says for me and he says for you, and I think we should learn this lesson this morning, he says, am I in the place of God? Verse 19. He tells his brothers, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? He humbled himself under God's authority. Amen. You remember when the book of Genesis opened? You have this power couple, Adam and Eve, and they're trying to be like God because they're deceived by the serpent. And he said, eat from this tree and you can become like God. And that became really attractive, especially to Eve. Let's become like God. So they ate from the tree. Now as we close Genesis, we have Joseph saying, I'm not in the place of God. And he's not willing to play the sovereign of the universe in anybody's life. Amen. You know what? We should all come away with this perspective that I'm not in the place of God in anybody's life. And that's what really Joseph helps me with in verse 19 with when he tells his brothers, do not be afraid. You know, sometimes when it comes to this idea of forgiveness and when people need our forgiveness even before they ask for it, are they really afraid of us? We could really let some air out of the room, even before they ask for forgiveness. if we would just simply say, you don't have to be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You know, in Isaiah 14, Satan wanted to put himself in the place of God. He wanted to set his throne above God's. He wanted to set his throne in the heavenlies. And for anybody who puts their throne above God's, they become prideful and idolatrous, and they really got beside themselves. But brothers and sisters, for you and I, we realize that Christ has forgiven us for so much. So we need to pass that forgiveness on to someone else. I think the Apostle Paul says it a whole lot better than I can. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, here's what he says. He says, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Amen. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 12, I think he says something about this in verse 19. He says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. The tendency, the human tendencies, I got to get them back. They've done me wrong, so I got to get them back. Even if it's passive aggressive, they've done me wrong so many years ago. But I've been waiting for my time. I've been waiting for my season. But rather give place to wrath. But it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Give God a chance to work it all out. Am I in the place of God? Even as you sit here this morning, there may be somebody that you need to forgive. Somebody has wronged you. Somebody took something from you or did something to you. But never put yourself in the place of God in anyone's life. But Joseph teaches us another lesson in verse 20 in Genesis chapter 50. He said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Amen. You know what Joseph teaches me here? Is that God providentially used what you meant for evil for good. Isn't it funny how God uses our valleys for victory in our lives? Isn't it funny how God uses our setbacks for setups? Isn't it funny how God uses something that's so painful for us, but for his purposes? And what he says here is that I noticed what you did was meant for evil, but providentially, God meant it for good. You know, brothers and sisters, we have to see that God is in control. God guides it all. The pain of our past, God used it to promote us to where he has us today. And God uses it in a special way in the life of the believer. For Joseph, he reserves a mature perspective of what has happened in his life. What you meant for evil, God has meant it for good. For some of us, it's past relationships. We have to look back and we say, you know what? That was a painful relationship. But what was meant for evil, God meant it for good. For some of us, it's even our family of origin. Maybe things didn't always happen the way we thought it should happen. Maybe we wish we had a different family. Maybe our family caused us too much hurt, too much pain. But that pain and that hurt has brought you to this point in your life. And what they meant for evil, God can still use it for good. God can take a lemon and he squeezes it and squeezes it. And with your tears, add the sweetness of Jesus and still make lemonade out of it. Amen. God uses it. Somebody may be sitting there going, I'm not quite ready yet. Forgiveness is just more than I expected. I just want to remind you, forgive others as quickly as you expect God to forgive you. One time I got angry about this forgiveness thing. So I asked Jesus about it because obviously the Old Testament had it wrong. Don't tell Dr. Beyer I said that. So I asked Jesus about it. I said, Jesus, how often should I forgive? And at first glance, it says 7 times 7. I said, that's 49. I was pretty cool with that. 7 times 7. And I wanted to know, was that a lifetime? And second glance at Matthew 18, that seems to be daily. And I said, who does that? And then I found out it was a text critical problem. It could have been 70 times 70. I said, that's 490 times. Who can forgive that often? And our Savior says, this is how often we shall allow forgiveness to emerge from our lives. Leave it in God's hand. What people mean for evil, God has meant for good. Forgiveness is the final form of love. We can't talk about reaching the nations if we can't talk about forgiveness. We can't talk about reaching our brothers and sisters if we can't talk about forgiveness. We can't even talk about reaching our families if we can't talk about forgiveness. Am I at the right church today? Excuse me, the right chapel today? Some of us, it gets really bitter to forgive. Because to forgive, maybe I have to acknowledge it actually happened. And we have to learn a little phrase that I learned when I watched a movie called Frozen. I know y'all too spiritual to have seen the movie Frozen, but I've seen it about 50 times now. Can I tell you what the little phrase says? Let it go. Some of y'all are laughing because you've seen the movie too. What are you holding on to today? That God has obviously used to bring you to this point, but you're still holding on to it, anger, with malice, with wrath and rage. I'm never gonna forget it. I'm never gonna let it go. I'm never gonna forgive. And God is saying, in this quiet moment, let it go. Thus, let it go. But that's not only what Joseph teaches me. Not only am I not in the place of God, not only did God use what you meant for evil for good, but there's a third lesson that he teaches me here. It goes back to that first thing that he told me in verse 19. Do not be afraid. Obviously, his brothers have lied. I think Moses is trying to help us with the way even this is written, that he's lied, because even the way it's recorded, it seems to be a lie going on here, that Joseph didn't say anything. And if he did, he didn't say these words. There's also obviously a falsehood going on. But Joseph still tells his brothers, don't be afraid. He's in a place of power. He could have leveraged his power against them, but that's not what he did. He says, I will provide for you and your little ones. Now, Dr. Jones, I was good. That forgiveness thing, I can give you some lip service. I forgive you. But it's when I have to put some action behind it. That's when it gets a little bit more difficult. A lot of us like to forgive from afar. I forgive you, but you stay over there. I forgive you, but don't ever call me again. Don't text me. Let me forget about you. I'm going to unfriend you on Facebook. I forgave you, okay? Bye. But that's not what Joseph did. Joseph is forgiving them, but he takes it a step further with some practical affection. He says, I'm going to provide for you. I'm not going to give anybody anything that did me wrong. But that's not the attitude, and that's not the action or the character of Joseph. Joseph says, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to do right by you. Matter of fact, this is what really, really trips me out about this text in verse 21. Not only is he going to provide, but you guys notice this. He says, and he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You know, when someone does us wrong and we have a little bit of power, and when it comes to the forgiveness time, some of us like to beat the dead horse about what they did wrong to us. That means that we like to repeat it over and 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 over. Did I mention over and over and over and over again? We like for them to know what you've done wrong. For some of us, we like to return a little anger when we let them know what they've done wrong. And for some of us, we like to even cuss them out when we, fuss them out. Excuse my floating and slip there. We like to fuss them out when we, yeah, I got to let you know what you've done wrong. But that's not how Joseph treated this moment. He treated this moment with kind words, with tender words. Kind of reminds me of what Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs grievances up. As I look here, Joseph lays out a template for you and I when we've been wrong, when someone has done something to us, when we really want to enter into this final frontier of what love looks like, that we go the extra mile, maybe 2 extra miles or 3 extra miles. For some of us, it's 1,000 extra miles. It depends on how angry they've made us. But he goes out of his way to provide for them and for their little ones, to comfort them and to provide for them. Now, who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to comfort, provide for? Not only speak kindly to, but speak kindly about, instead of continually stirring it up. But just learning those 3 words, just let it go. Allowing forgiveness to be that thing that God has given us, so we want to so awesomely turn around and give others. You know, Joseph shows us how to do it well, even as Jacob is off the scene now. Joseph shows us how to do it well. I'm not your God. God used this even though it was meant for evil. He shows us how to do it well because he lets us know that to forgive means not to just forgive, but it means to go the extra mile and to show some practical affection. I'm done preaching now, but I need to challenge us today, those of you that are sitting here. Maybe someone sitting here with a situation, maybe it's back in your family of origin and you have some unresolved issues. You're here at CIU and you're studying, but there's some things back home that you haven't quite resolved that you know you need to resolve in order to be the best that God wants you to be right here. Maybe there's someone with a past hurt or past relationship that you haven't quite resolved. Maybe there's someone sitting here with a church hurt that you haven't quite resolved. Maybe there's someone here and the person that you need to forgive is yourself, because you're not Joseph, but you notice in the text that you're more like Joseph's brothers, that you've trumped up some stories. You beg for forgiveness, but you're doing it through a third party. But you hadn't asked for forgiveness for yourself. And maybe there's someone sitting here in need of that kind of forgiveness. I want to give us a moment this morning that if any of those things have spoken to your heart and the Spirit is speaking to your heart, I just invite you to stand as we prepare to close our chapel time together. so we can pray together. Maybe there's an area in which you need to just turn to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I need help with this final frontier forgiveness. If that's you today, I want to invite you. I see you standing. If there's some others that would like to stand, I invite you to stand at this time. If there's some others that would like to stand and say, you know what? I need some help, Lord, with this area of forgiveness. I invite you to stand. Come on. Let the Lord speak to you. Just let the Lord speak to you in this quiet moment. Yes, yes. There's some others just between you and the Lord. If you're not standing, please pray for those who are standing. Please, please pray for those who are standing. There's some others I believe you need to stand. If God is speaking to you, this is your moment. Don't be in the place of God. God used this for his glory in your life to bring you to this place. And if you haven't learned how to speak kindly to those who've caused you pain, this is your moment to say, Lord, I want to give this back to you. Lord Jesus, we're here today and we're so in need of forgiveness. And thank you for your sacrifice on Calvary's cross of forgiveness. Thank you that you've forgiven us for so much. And Lord, even though we're saved, we continually hurt your heart with sin. So God, with the same forgiveness that you extend to us, may we extend to others that so desperately need your forgiveness, but that so desperately need our forgiveness, even before they ask for it. I pray that we pass it on. For that student that may be here today and they're struggling with things back home, or with roommates, past roommates or present roommates or past relationships, hurts from churches or from ministries, or wherever it may be, I pray, God, even as they look at the person in the mirror that they need to forgive, I pray, God, that you would just minister to their hearts. Let the blood of Jesus, God, do its perfect work in their lives. Allow the Holy Spirit to blow that sweet wind. May the Holy Spirit do its work in their lives, not just in this moment, for the rest of their lives. For it's in the name of Christ Jesus I pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.